They settled on a concrete cell, 13 feet by 7. I got a mug and spoon, a shelf, and a single bulb hanging from the ceiling. Oh, I could have wrapped the light cord around my neck and jumped off the shelf, I suppose. But what if the cord broke and left me lying on my back, more alive than dead, legs twitching like a poisoned cockroach? I lay on my bed and stared at the ceiling. The cell was like a roomy coffin, and I was half convinced I was already dead when I heard a warder whisper outside my door, "Maybe they'll send her to Hall B in the men's." I could tell by the break in her voice what happened in Hall B. They lowered their voices whenever they passed my cell, as if I was a ghost likely to haunt any poor sucker who pricked my ears. I probably would have too. I was that hungry and sore about it. They say you eat whatever you want when you're about to hang, but turns out this is a lie. They'd fed me ration one for supper, the next best thing to dry bread and water. I suspect they didn't want to clean up my shit after I dropped. A constipated corpse is a tidy corpse and doesn't leave a trace. But everything leaves a trace. You mightn't be able to see those traces, but you can feel them. You can smell them. There are traces of me in you. And mark my words, there are traces of me in the acid that burns the Crown Prosecutor's gullet at night, keeping him awake. "Wake up, missus! Missus, wake up!" a nurse is saying. Ah, darling girl, I would if I could. Now she's giving up too. Her soft shoes pat across the floor. The warders bit their nails when I looked them in the face. They barked occasionally to remind me where I was, but it was hard for them to keep up the gruffness when I gave them no reason to complain. Mavis slipped a ball of tobacco into my pocket. May gave me an extra scoop of hominy on Sundays, and in early December, a young warder slid back the hatch on my cell door.
"Good news, love," she said. "There was a cabinet meeting. Your death sentence just got commuted to life."
What? I didn't understand. What about the jury's decision? The lawyer's two-hour speeches? The months of preparation for the trial, and all along they could change their minds just like that?
"No premier wants a hanged woman on his hands. Not now we can vote."
So it was life then. Sentenced to life. It was worse in a way, but the women in the cells began to clap. The sound was water smacking stone. The drops accumulated and became rain. They clapped harder. They hooped and hollered. The cheers of women, wild or poor enough to break the law, are as close to rapture as a person can get now that churches don't mean much. My cheeks were wet. My throat choked up. I hadn't cried like that in years.
"Sister, the old woman is crying, I think."
The nurses are coming from all directions, needles out. "No, no more morphine." "Too bad. Jab." And off I float. I've been trapped like this before, long ago now. But it's all coming back. Who She'd Like to Be. Wellington, New Zealand, 1885 to 1896. Tally ho. Mama was always having babies. Sometimes I imagined they grew out her fingertips when she stood for too long in the sun, but they didn't. They crawled into her vagina when she sat on the toilet seat after Papa used it. That was why you always had to stand on the toilet seat and squat, never sit. And Mama was a tailoress and a very hard worker. She worked every day of the week and also cooked for us and cleaned the house and fixed our clothes, except for when I did that, which was as often as she could make me. I tried not to be home too much in case she made me stitch flowers onto one of Ida's bonnets. Mama said Ida couldn't stitch flowers onto her own bonnet because she was three, and if you tried to make her, she would put the needle in her eye or in your eye or try to eat it. I didn't know why bonnets needed flowers. If I had to stitch a horse costume, I would have done it, or if I had to stitch something useful like trousers. But I didn't know why bonnets needed flowers, so I wouldn't do it. When I came home after being outside for too long, Mama would look at me as if she was experiencing great sorrow.